Now, will you notice, chapter 4 opens with this unbelievable verse. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now, it didn't displease him just a little bit, but it displeased him exceedingly, and he wasn't just angry a little bit, he was very angry. This man is angry about what? He's angry because the city of Nineveh has turned to God, and he didn't like that. Now, will you notice verse 2? And he prayed unto the Lord. Now, the last time he prayed, he was inside the fish. Now, here he is outside of Nineveh. And he's up there at a little trailer court. His camper is parked there, and he sits in the shade of it. And he prays. He's very unhappy. He's miserable. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Now, we're going to begin to see the psychology of Jonah. And if you felt I was inaccurate at the beginning when I said he had hatred and bitterness in his heart against the Ninevites, and he probably had justification for it, and that was one of the reasons he didn't want to go, then will you listen to this? He says, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Now, I heard a liberal years ago at Vanderbilt University giving the Cole lectures there, and he made the statement that Jonah's problem was he didn't know God. And I don't like to say it like this, but the problem with that lecture was he didn't know the book of Jonah. Because it's very clear that Jonah did know God and knew him real well, and probably better than that lecturer knew God. He says, I knew you were gracious. I knew you were merciful. I knew you were slow to anger. I knew you were of great kindness. And I knew that though you said you'd destroy Nineveh in 40 days, if Nineveh turned to God, you'd save them, because that's what you always do. And he said, I know what you'll do. Jonah knew God. And knowing God, he said, I hate Ninevites. I don't want them saved. I want God to judge them. So he headed the other direction. He said, those Ninevites, if they turn to God, God would save them. And you just can't depend on Ninevites. They might put up a good front, and they might say that they turned to God. And Jonah should have known that God would have known their hearts. He'd known whether they were genuine or not, and God would save them. You see, Jonah knew how merciful and good and gracious God was. Now he comes, and he's in great bitterness and anger. Therefore now, will you listen to him? O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Now, I want you to look at this man, because two of the great prophets of the Scripture said the same thing, that they wanted God to take their lives. In other words, they're actually on the verge of suicide. When Elijah ran from Jezebel, and there's another man running away, and it was unlike him. He went all the way to Beersheba, and that was the jumping-off place for the Sinai Peninsula. And he left his servant there, and he kept going as long as he could. When he's out of breath, he crawls up and under a juniper tree, and he says, Oh, Lord, let me die. And when a man does that, and he's God's man, that man is exhausted, exhausted and drained physically, mentally, psychologically, and spiritually. Every drop is drained out of him. And that was true of Elijah. Elijah had been busy, and I mean busy, friends. He had withstood against the prophets of Baal way up at Haifa, at Mount Carmel. He had been before the public. And this man, he loved the spectacular. He loved the dramatic. But it drains you after a while. And this man, when he heard that Jezebel is after him, he took out for the far country. And now, here's Jonah. And I think you'll agree that this man has really been through the mail. In fact, he's been through a fish. This man has had quite an experience, and he's come into the city of Nineveh, and he has given out God's word now faithfully, and the city has turned to God. This man is overwrought, overstimulated. He is exhausted, absolutely drained, and he wants to die. And there's one thing about this, and there are many of us, I think, reach this stage at times. We get to the place where we feel like, well, this is it. I give up. I quit. I don't want to go on any farther. And we're tired. We're exhausted. And to wish you were dead is just about as foolish a thing as you can possibly do. Because as far as I know, no one has ever died by wishing it. Now, people die of cancer and heart trouble and all other things, but they just don't die of wishing to be dead. And so he's wasting his time.